I'm Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection.
Don't let them handle me and drive me mad. If you can keep me, I wanna stay here with you forever. And I'll be so glad. Someday I know he's coming back to call on me. He's going to handle me and hold me so. It's gonna be like dying bogey, daddy deep inside me. But when he comes, oh no, I'll have to go.
This is the plaintive, haunting treatment of the Gershwin's I Love You Porgy that made Nina Simone an instant pop star in 1959, 40 years ago. She was born Eunice Wayman, the daughter of a preacher in Tryon, North Carolina. Her family watched her perform prodigious musical feats, especially on the piano early on. In her teens, she branched out from church music. She studied classical piano at Juilliard in New York, and later, by necessity, became the singer Nina Simone when she was told that singing was the only way she could keep her $90 a week job at an Irish bar in Atlantic City. Nina Simone has been influenced by everything she hears, she says. She loves Ella Fitzgerald and Johann Sebastian Bach. Charlie Parker, who reminds her of Beethoven, and Billie Holiday are our mother and father, she says. Her fans have called her the High Priestess of Soul, but Nina Simone is really beyond category. An eternal romantic, she loves love songs. Her repertoire is filled with jazz and folk and blues and protest. Her best-known compositions from the Civil Rights Movement era are, and these songs that she wrote in her own name, are To Be Young, Gifted, and Black, and the song Black is the Color of My True Love's Hair. Her style then and now is emotional, powerful, political, and most remarkably, it has a passionate following among young people, 20-somethings today, as for no other singer of Nina Simone's time. This is the Nina Simone Connection. Our phone is 1-800-423-8255 or 1-800-423-TALK. Just by way of contrast, in the range of the things Nina Simone wrote and sang, she was also famous and is still famous for her protest songs, which began in the late 60s, or in the mid-60s, and continue to today. This is a song she wrote and became famous called Mississippi Goddamn.
Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. Alabama's got me so upset. Lurleen Wallace has made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. Can't you see it? I know you can feel it.
the pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama has got me so upset, and Memphis has made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi God fair. Hound dogs on my trail, little school children sitting in jail. Black cat crossed my path, I think every day's gonna be my last. Lord have mercy on this land of mine, we all gonna get it in due time. Cause I don't belong here, I don't belong there, I've even stopped believing in prayer. Don't tell me, I'll tell you, me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know, and keep on saying go slow. Well, that's just the trouble. Washing the windows. Picking the cotton. Nothing but rotten. Too damn lazy. Thinking's crazy. Where am I going? What am I doing? I don't know. I don't know. Just try to do my very best. Stand up, be counted with all the rest. Cause everybody knows about Mississippi goddamn. Now you heard him. He's one of you. If you have been moved at all, and you know my songs at all, for God's sakes, join me. Don't sit back there. The time is too late now. Good God. You know, the king is dead. The king of love is dead. I ain't about to be nonviolent, honey. Oh, dude. Picket lines, school boycotts. They try to say it's a communist plot. But all I want is equality for my sister, my brother, my people, and me. And I loved him because he believed it. He lived by it. But you lied to me all the years. You told me to wash and clean my ears and talk real fine just like a lady, and you stopped calling my mama Aunt Sadie. Hear me now. But my country is full of lies. I don't trust nobody anymore. Keep on saying go slow. That's just the trouble. Desegregation. Mass participation. Unification. Do things gradually. But bring more tragedy. To live next to me, just give me my equality. Cause everybody knows about Mississippi, everybody knows about Alabama, everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn.
This is the Nina Simone Connection with a singer who's on her way and will be here momentarily. The singer who had her first great hit in 1959. I Loves You, Porgy, and then plunged into the civil rights movement. She became, in effect, a voice of the civil rights movement without restraint. Mississippi Goddam was a song she wrote after the murder of Medgar Evers in 1962, in which she embraced the picket lines and the school boycotts and the whole movement for equality. She leapt into it because she said it was something happening for my people, and she's been known ever since as a voice of a cause. 1-800-423-8255 makes the Nina Simone connection. As I say, she's on her way. The music writer and producer James Isaacs joins us by phone. James, you remember, as I do, when Nina Simone was a brand new name in the late 1950s.
No, I'm not quite that old, Chris.
You remember, as Billie Holiday was dying, but Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan thrived, and there were many others around, including Dakota Staton and Carmen McRae and Nancy Wilson, and also Peggy Lee and Anita O'Day. In that, in the catalog, place Nina Simone, and in your own heart's memory.
Well, unlike all of those singers that you've mentioned, Nina Simone, at least when I was growing up, Chris, appealed to people of my generation because she, I think, tapped into the same listenership that embraced Bob Dylan, for example, the protest element. Because, as the listeners have just heard from her own composition, Mississippi Goddam, she was extremely committed to the civil rights movement and, addressed those issues not just in the song that we just heard, but in a number of them. So when you went to a Nina Simone concert, say, at Carnegie Hall in 1964, it was an entirely different audience than one would encounter at an Ella concert or I'm trying to think of another singer who was Carmen McRae, Chris Connor, that kind of
right.
kind of deal, Peggy Lee. I mean, she really staked out her own turf, and it's hers alone, I think.
Define it. It's a turf, not just musical, it's a turf of feeling and politics, passion.
Attitude. It's a word that I have come to hate because it's so overused. But when it comes to attitude, no one has got anything on Nina Simone. I mean, she is the queen of attitude.
Hmm.
And I'm not saying that in a pejorative way, incidentally.
The thing that's so fascinating to me, James, is that whatever it is, kids of my daughter's age, I mean, in their 20s now, know Nina Simone as well as I did in the late 50s, early 60s.
Again, because she has that in-your-face / confrontation, whatever one wants to call it, she's got it. Ella Fitzgerald did not. Carmen McRae could be tough, but she was singing a repertoire that did not tap in to the same audiences that Nina has attracted now for 40 years.
But the civil rights movement is long gone, I mean, in the sense of that era, that feeling.
Yeah, but standing up for yourself never dies.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I think there's a young feminist thing here.
Absolutely.
There's an international thing.
She's addressed all of those.
She's lived in Africa. She exiled herself from this country to France.
Right.
What is the attitude today? I mean, what is the
Diana Krall.
No, but I mean, what is the edge that holds that audience even now and is finding it new every day?
Again, my opinion, and of course that's why I'm here, is she has managed to meet head on that protest element.
Hmm.
There's not nearly as many protest singers now as there were, say, in 1965, but Nina Simone does it so eloquently that I think that she's managed to cross generations quite effortlessly.
James Isaacs, you're priceless. Our phone is
1-800-423-8255.
1-800-423-8255, the Nina Simone connection with a singer who's on her way. 1-800-423-TALK. Chester is on the line.
Hi.
Hello, Chester. Welcome.
I guess I want to thank you for this program. I was 11 in 1960, and I knew Nina Simone was a cool thing, but I didn't understand at all what was going on. you know, I grew up with the protest movement and with the civil rights movement and with the anti-Vietnam War movement. And as I got older, I became more aware of what a voice she was. And I'm just glad to be reminded because I hadn't thought about her in years. And
Chester, what was the song?
It was Mississippi Goddamn was the one. And, you know, at the time I thought it was a bopping thing. You know, I mean, I didn't understand why you could be so lively and be saying what she was saying. I just thought it was cool and interesting, but I was a kid, you know. Now I'm a grown-up, and holy shit. Excuse me. she's just wonderful.
Chester, thank you. I want to play, James, another of the songs that sort of made her famous in that mode. It's the song Black is the Color of My True Love's Hair.
Which is an old folk song.
Made new.
By Nina Simone.
My true love's hair, his face so soft and wondrous fair, the purest eyes and the strongest hair. I love the ground unwasted. Black is the color of my true love's hair. Yes, I love the ground where he goes, and still I hope that the time will come when he
Simone Connection, awaiting herself. Our phone is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. Binta is on the line.
Hello.
Hello, Binta.
Hi. I'm just really glad that you're having this show today for Nina Simone. And I'm a black undergraduate student, and I grew up with my parents having Nina Simone's records and listening to her voice that was both a witnessing of history and also living within her current moment. It's always been a testimony to her strength, resilience, and also the art of black music within this country. And to respond to the first caller, I wanted to remind all of us that not really in relation to Bob Dylan, but to a larger tradition of black music, that's where Nina Simone really fits in. And I think that one of the best things about her music is that because it is such a testimony of music in resisting the classification of jazz from blues, from folk, from all these classifications that really have more to do with white taste and the commodification of jazz and of black music than with actual distinction. And she really, I think, reflects the diaspora of black music in its African tradition and also within its translation here in the States through exploring all these different aspects that are really part and parcel of the same music. And I think also as a symbol, Nina Simone, her music is excellent because it still maintains the implication of the audience, which is so much a part of this musical tradition. And even though so many other black artists have been used as, their meaning has been flattened by an often uninformed media to just have them singing, you know, as backup for a commercial or something like that, her music, when really listened to, has to implicate the audience and can't be just remembered as the background to someone else's good time in an evening.
This is very interesting, although, I mean, I'm sure you're aware her songs have been used for commercials.
Yes.
And she's never put down the love songs and the Tin Pan Alley kind
of
stuff she does sing. I'm just wondering, in your parents' record collection, I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff in there. Why does the Nina Simone stuff leap the generation and stay fresh so much better than others and be as particular as you want?
Well, I think that she's part of like a multiplicity of voices that speak out. I don't see her as emerging more, but fitting into a whole panoply of voices. Someone mentioned before Ella Fitzgerald and how she didn't necessarily encapsulate that, but she had a different aim to her music. I think that what makes Nina Simone so special to my parents and to myself is that her voice seems to come from the kitchen. It seems to come from the part of the house, the part of historical memory that doesn't let you forget your own role and your own positionality, in a sense. And I think that her voice, being that it's not as smooth and effortless as Ella's, I think that her voice reflects that her life has so many different twists and turns to it, and you really just, you know, fall into her experience for a minute.
Do you have a favorite Nina Simone song?
I think that my favorite song would be Black is the Color of My True Love's Hair, just because it made me think of Gwendolyn Brooks and some of her work, and also Rita Dove's work. And as a poet, I've always been inspired by that song, as well as some of her other more political songs.
Vinta, thank you for joining us on The Connection. The phone is 1-800-423-8255, or 1-800-423-TALK, the Nina Simone Connection. Connie is on the line.
Hi, Chris.
Welcome,
hi,
Connie.
Nina. I just wanted to say that I went to college in the first half of the 60s, and the high point of my college career was hearing Nina sing Forbidden Fruit on a friend's record player.
Strange Fruit?
Forbidden
Fruit. Forbidden Fruit, sorry.
And I was unable to rest for years until I found it. I went out in and out of used record stores looking for it, and finally I found a two-disc set called Nina Simone Anthology, The Colpix Years.
Excellent.
Yeah. I have it. Maybe we should play that. Forbidden Fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us why, Connie.
That's probably very personal, but it burned itself in my brain and my soul, and I'm delighted she's in town.
James Isaacs, do you want to comment on Forbidden Fruit?
Only that I am in agreement with Connie that it's a seminal Nina Simone track, and that entire collection, the two CD Best of the Colpix Years, is one of the touchstones. If you're going to recommend, say, three Nina Simone albums, that's one of them.
We may just be able to cue Forbidden Fruit. We'll go into the break with Ain't Got No Life. And when we come back, Nina Simone will be with us. This is The Connection from WBUR Boston and PRI, Public Radio International.
ain't got no money, ain't got no class, ain't got no skirts, ain't got no sweater, ain't got no perfume, ain't got no bed, ain't got no mind, ain't got no mother, ain't got no culture, ain't got no friends, ain't got no schooling, ain't got no love, ain't got no name, ain't got no ticket, ain't got no token, ain't got no God. And what about God? Why am I alive anyway? Yeah, what about God? Nobody can take away. Got my hair, got my head, got my brain, got my ears, got my eyes, got my nose, got my mouth, I got my smile, I got my tongue, got my chin, got my neck, got my boots, got my heart, got my soul, got my back, I got my sex, I got my arms, got my hands, got my fingers, got my legs, got my feet.
Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Allaire Corporation, empowering people with innovative internet technology and offering dynamic career opportunities at allaire.com. I'm Christopher Lydon. This is the Nina Simone Connection.
Bowl. I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
The singer Nina Simone is our guest. This is her "I Need a Little Sugar in My Bowl" out of the Bessie Smith catalog. 1-800-423-8255 makes the Nina Simone connection. Welcome, Nina Simone. I spoke of you as a singer beyond category when I was introducing you, but I wonder how you'd refine that. What do you call yourself?
I call myself a black classical concert artist. That includes folk, jazz, gospel, and ballads, and sometimes a classical background with the piano to accompany my songs. Duke Ellington did defy the jazz category too. He was more than that. He could play anything. He could play symphonies, but they didn't give him credit for that because he was black.
Well, he took it anyway. He got plenty of credit in the end, and he deserved every bit of it. I wonder, is there a certain implied put down when people refer to a black singer automatically as a jazz singer?
Of course, because what they're doing is putting instead of that, it's racism, because the jazz started in the brothels of Louisiana and New Orleans. Brothels are whorehouses. So that is what they are doing, putting us down as whores. You never thought of that, did you?
Well, I just wonder if it's that quite that simple, but...
It is that simple, and it's been going on for 100 years.
What do you call the music of black Americans, or is there any single word for it?
Well, you have spirituals, mostly, and the songs that I sing.
Your range has always been prodigious. I mean, you approved Beatles songs when a lot of people didn't. You've done protest songs, too. You didn't mention them in the original list. Where do they fit?
I did 10 years as a protest singer for the civil rights movement, including Stokely Carmichael, Huey Newton, H-Rap Brown, Langston Hughes, and Lorraine Hansberry. They were all members of the civil rights movement, and we go as far back in our ancestry as Paul Robeson, who was a great actor as well as singer.
What were your experiences with Malcolm X? You knew him, I take it.
Yes, I did. I didn't know him too well, but I certainly was a great friend of his wife's and his six children. In fact, his wife, Betty Shabazz, I helped buy the house that she lived in before she was killed in Mount Vernon, New York.
What is the current equivalent of those protest songs? Do you still find protest songs that you want to sing to the world's audiences?
I sing the same protest songs that I've been singing for 30 years because nothing has changed.
Well, now something has changed.
You tell me.
Well, there's been a great deal of legislation, a great deal of economic change, too, has there not?
I gave 4 concerts before I came up here. The last one was in New York City. And the songs that I sang, they all knew and expected. And they were all protest songs. Except I Love You, Porgy, and one more. I Love You, Porgy, and Sugar in My Bowl. The rest were protest songs, and it was for an hour, and they knew every word.
Well, that's fascinating. I mean, I was going to ask you, how do you account for not only your celebrity today, but the fact that especially, I would guess, young women, but people in college, people in their 20s, know exactly who Nina Simone is. My daughters know your work as well as I did in college in the 50s and 60s.
How do I account for it?
Yeah.
My music is timeless.
That's a good answer. Our phone is 1-800-423-8255, the Nina Simone Connection. Calvin is on the line.
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Welcome, Calvin.
Miss Simone, the honor is beyond belief. I just wanted to ask Miss Simone what she thought about the jazz universe and Wynton Marsalis and the Lincoln Center crowd, and what has happened to jazz. Does she agree with me when I ask the question or make the statement that all jazz and all black music was the expression of black rage and protest, regardless of genre, to the people, and what has happened to black music, and you can name names, Wynton Marsalis, Diana Krall, on and on and on, has been a watering down of black protest for white consumption. As she said, nothing has changed. And I'll take my comments off the air.
I think he wants you to agree or disagree, Nina Simone.
Oh, I agree, darling. I agree.
Do you want to elaborate?
Well, he's off the phone.
Well, he's listening.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, of course it's been watered down. The only person who's halfway singing it is my daughter in Chicago, and the girl who did rap, what's her name, and she became famous.
Oh, you're talking about
Lauryn Hill?
Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill.
But do you think that there's an impediment to the real jazz artists getting out because of the music industry? And what do you think about that American music industry?
That stinks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Why and compared to what?
Why? You don't get your royalties. If you're black, you don't get any respect. If you're black, you don't get your money at all. I have made 158 albums, and I don't get paid for most of them. Most of them are pirated around the world. I don't get paid, which is par for the course for black artists.
Hmm. Nina Simone is our guest. Our phone is 1-800-423-8255. Valinda is on the line.
Good morning, Christopher. Thank you very much for taking my call. And Miss Simone, it's a pleasure to speak with you today. What I'd like to do is to comment on four women. I grew up in a predominantly wealthy community in upstate New York.
And
I beg your pardon?
Was it white?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I remember listening to four women and reading When the Rainbow Is Not Enough, because going to my high school, there were very few African-American women, and I'm on a light side, and I remember how we were treated differently because of our various hues.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to know what? Even though I'm on the light side, for instance, I feel like peaches today. And I would like you to comment on the fact that despite your hue, you cannot be represented in a certain way because of the color of your skin, at least the various shades of brown.
Yeah, well, let's face it. They say whether you're light-skinned, brown-skinned, or black, if you have 1 ounce of black blood in you, you are black.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you feel like peaches.
Well, let me ask you this before I let you go. How did you feel when you performed that composition? What was the catalyst?
That's a hard question,
yeah,
because I kept it in my head for 2 years before I let it out.
Uh-huh.
I was married then, and I was scared to death to sing it. I should tell my husband about it,
yeah,
because he was very, very half white, and I was scared of what he would say, and then I let it out, and it became the most popular, one of the most popular songs in my repertoire. Did you know that? Wait a minute. Did you know that? Four women?
Yes, indeed, of course.
All right. Okay, is that all right with you?
Yes, it is, and my friend, let me go off and be peaches today.
All right. Kill somebody.
Valinda, thank you. 1-800-423-8255, the connection with Nina Simone. Harold is on the line.
Good morning.
Morning, Harold.
And thank you for having the spiritual goddess on the radio today. I'm an old fay from the 50s. I grew up with the Bird, Monk, Bud, and that kind of music. The thing happened to me inside, and along the line, my name is Egypt, and he was too good to me, actually touched a lot of my wife and I. And we want to thank you for sharing your spiritual gift with us. And I can only apologize for what my white community has done to the black community. But my spirit and soul is going to be going to the right place, because I think it's been nourished for a long time. And continue to do that, please.
Thank you. Are you coming to the concert?
I'm going to give it my best shot.
Okay.
And let's not forget Miss Abby. She got something to say, baby.
Miss
Abby Lincoln. Miss Abby Lincoln.
Oh, yeah.
She's saying something. She is saying it. And James, thank you for being on the radio. We'll go to the island with the quintet, Miles and Train, etc.
Okay.
Harold, you're terrific. Thank you. 1-800-423-8255. Peter is calling from Oxford, Iowa.
Hi, Chris. I love your show.
And, welcome, Peter.
What a thrill.
One of the great thrills of my life was seeing you, Nina, in the early 60s.
I'm a doctor, honey.
What's that?
That's Dr. Simone to you and me, Peter.
Doctor, I'm sorry. And one of my great disappointments was when you weren't able to come to the University of Iowa a few years ago. You had to cancel. In regard to one of the questions that Chris asked, I'd like to say that one of the things that makes you unique is the way that you sing the lyrics. And the lyrics, the songs, or what comes out comes from both the music and the lyrics. Whereas Ella Fitzgerald, I've always felt that the lyrics were a part of more about the sound. And from you, it's the words. And I, what a thrill it is to be able to tell you that.
Thank you. Are you coming to the concert?
I live in Iowa.
Oh, God, I forgot.
But maybe you could come here again sometime.
Oh, I won't be coming back to the States after this tour.
Oh.
When is the concert? Keep buying the albums.
Peter, thank you. Thank you for just chopping in. 1-800-423-8255. Stavros is calling from Rock Island, Illinois.
Yes, greetings out there. And Chris, I want to tell you, you're a very, very hip man to have this exceptional artist on your show.
Thank you, Stavros.
Exceptional.
It's a great privilege.
Just to ask and say that, first of all, the tone, deep into the bone, the feel that is so real. And the second part is the sweetness with the pain.
Oh, wow. You know how to talk that talk, don't you?
You reach me so deeply, and I'm telling you, I'm still trying to recover. And when I hear you, I got to go back and start crying because I need to know why I'm alive. I'm telling you, it's so great. I'm thinking now that I was going to ask you about what influenced you to do this to us.
The first person was Marian Anderson, the great contralto from Philadelphia.
Wow.
She was first, Paul Robeson was second, then we had Lena Horne and Art Blakey and Ray Charles.
You got the mix.
Yeah.
It's one other question was to people that want to really hear and hear maybe the ballads and the interpretations that you enjoy. Do you have any particular album or collection that you think is outstanding that you like of your work that represents you?
Well, I like Young, Gifted, and Black because it's influenced millions of people around the world, and it's done in Chinese and Hong Kong.
Wow, Young, Gifted, and Black, and that's the name of the CD or the song?
That's the name of the song.
Excellent.
And we'll go out on it, Stavros.
Okay, I'm going to be listening. Last question is your astrological sign.
I'm Pisces and Aquarius.
Of course, because we're swimming into the deep water. And thank you so much for your contribution.
You're welcome.
Stavros, thank you for your call. 1-800-423-8255, the Nina Simone Connection. Rick is calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, Nina Simone. What an honor for me to have the opportunity to speak to you. My question is, how do you view your reception in the United States or compare your reception in the United States as compared to that which you receive in Europe?
Well, the United States it's much more aggressive. I have as many fans here as I have in Europe, and at the Beacon Theater it was full. In Washington, it was full, and in Atlanta, it was full. So this time around, though I haven't been here for 10 years, it's been exceptionally great and just as good as Europe.
That's great. Well, I'm honored to have had the opportunity to speak to you and enjoy your tour.
Thank you.
Rick, thank you. 1-800-423-8255, the Nina Simone Connection. T is on the line.
Hi, Chris.
Welcome, T.
Great show. Fantabulous artist. And I'd just like to say that there'll never be another Nina Simone. There might be someone like her 100 years from now, but there's no heir to her throne for the simple reason that the industry has been so centralized that there's no freedom of speech such as Miss Simone has courageously fought for over the years and been able to speak her mind through her music. You don't hear these themes today. I mean, the ones beyond civil rights per se. Although I know if she wanted to write that way, she could write that way right now because things really haven't changed that much.
Hello.
But I just want to say that, you know, stay strong and keep up the struggle.
Thank you. Where are you from?
I'm from Boston, Massachusetts.
Are you coming to the concert?
Yes, I am.
Are you a musician, T?
No, I'm a producer. I used to manage Dizzy Gillespie, and I worked with Sarah Vaughan. I worked with Carmen McRae. I worked with Ella Fitzgerald. And I mention those names because Dr. Simone is so completely different. I mean, she's in the same craft, but her themes were not merely to entertain. She had a message, and she continues to sing it.
Hmm. Yes, I do.
T, thank you for the call. Amy is on the line.
Dr. Simone.
Yeah.
I am a white woman born in the late 50s, raised having heard your music, but growing up in a very white suburb with very aware parents.
In Boston?
Just outside of Boston, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of years ago, I met a man who was a huge fan of yours.
You mean the model?
Pardon me?
You mean the model, amen?
No, a gentleman.
Oh, a man.
A man who turned me back on to your music, and it is your music that has carried me through many, many, many years of pain, physical pain, and becoming a disabled person, and seeing that the bigotry and bias doesn't end with color, and it's a fight we all have to fight. We need to be colorblind. We need to look at the world just as people, you know. And you send that message out so strongly, and I thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Amy, I wonder, is there a particular song of yours that you love?
Freedom.
Freedom. Fair enough. Amy, thank you. And to all the callers, thank you. Especially thanks to Nina Simone, and thanks also to James Isaacs, who joined us earlier in the hour. We'll go out on Nina Simone's song, Young, Gifted, and Black. If you're anywhere near Boston, listeners, Nina Simone will be at the Fleet Pavilion in Boston tomorrow night, Tuesday, June 6th.
Mom?
We had help today from John Hoder, Dan First, Glenn Alexander, Allison Bagg, Rebecca Smuckler, and Kim Bichari. The Connection is produced by Catherine Bidwell, Hitesh Hatti, Jill Kaufman, Amy McDonald, and Keith Shields. Mary McGrath is our senior producer. I'm Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection from WBUR Boston. Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Allaire Corporation.
PRI, Public Radio International.
From Boston University, this is WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Coming up on Here and Now at Noon, a special report on black philanthropy. After Here and Now asks the question, to whom?